بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, last night we had heard the 26th juz, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an example for us to understand the two groups that they are in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an example of a parent that has two children, two sons or two daughters. One child is very obedient, righteous, pious, makes dua for the parent, obeys the parent. The other child, on the other hand, is disobedient, does not appreciate the bounties and the blessings that the parent has bestowed upon the child, and always argues with the parent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this example in order for us to understand that there will be these two groups in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But before this, Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. We had commanded insan, man, to be righteous, to be kind, to be obedient to his parents. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reason for this, or one of the motivating factors behind this command. Why should a person be righteous, obedient to his parents, particularly his mother? حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his mother carried him with great difficulty. كُرْهًا. Her condition whilst carrying him was full of difficulty. We know a woman who is expecting, how her body changes, her moods change, her temperament changes, her appetite changes, the morning sickness, the headaches. So his mother carried him with difficulty. وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. And she bore him, she gave birth to him with great difficulty. The entire birthing process itself was difficult. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. And then, after this, she gave birth to this child, it didn't end there. But the period of her carrying him and thereafter breastfeeding him totals to a period of 30 months, 2.5 years. So in this verse we find these two aspects are mentioned, that the entire pregnancy period and the breastfeeding period, if both are added together, comes to 30 months. And in the other verse of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks only about the breastfeeding period. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. That the breastfeeding period and the time to wean the child off will total to 2 years, 24 months. So here we have 30 months for these two periods, and there we have 24 months just for the breastfeeding period. From this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah has deduced that if the breastfeeding period is 24 months, 2 years, then from 30 that leaves just 6 months for the pregnancy period. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says, the minimum period of pregnancy for a woman is 6 months. Anything less than that, then that child, as an example, a couple gets married, and 5.5 months later, the wife gives birth to a child, then according to Sharia, that child will not be attributed to the father. It will be a child born out of wedlock. Only if the mother gives birth after 6 months, or 6 months or later, then we will say this is a valid pregnancy in Sharia. Nevertheless, so Allah speaks about this, and then this child, when he grows up, hatta idha balagha ashuddahu, when he reaches his peak strength, wa balagha 40 sana, and as tafsir of that, Allah says he reaches the age of 40. 40 years old, ulama explain, mufassirin explain, is the peak of a man as far as his physical strength and mental strength, as far as his intellect, his wisdom, his understanding of affairs and matters. One is a person may reach peak physical strength before this, perhaps in his 20s, 30s, by the time he reaches 40, he may feel weakness setting in. But before the age of 40, he will not have peak mental strength. And a person may be very wise and experienced in his older years, but then the physical side of it has began to deteriorate. So the peak of both the physical and mental side is at the age of 40. When he reaches this age, now at the peak of his maturity, he makes dua. What dua does he make? So this is the righteous child. He says, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'matak. O Allah, you give me tawfiq. Awzi'ni, give me tawfiq. You give me the ability to express gratitude, to be grateful for your bounties, allati an'amta alayya, which you have favored upon me, wa ala walidayya, and that which you have favored upon my parents. So let me make shukr to you. You give me tawfiq to make shukr to you. Then second, he says, wa an a'mala salihan tarda. O Allah, give me tawfiq and the ability to carry out righteous deeds which you are pleased with. I must now, at the age of 40, and ulama explained that by this age already, A person should have in his mind just the concern for the akhirat. That I've already worked for my dunya. Of course we know a person may still have to work. Not every person is fortunate to retire at that age. But now primarily his attention should be focused on preparing for the akhirat. I've already reached 40. Whatever I get after this is a bonus now. Already downhill. So give me tawfiq to carry out righteous deeds now, tardahu, which you will become pleased with. And the third dua he makes is now preparing for when he leaves this world. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي That, O Allah, grant me goodness as far as my progeny is concerned. I am going to leave this world soon, so give me righteous progeny, righteous offspring, who will make dua for me like this, my good deeds can continue even after I have left this world. إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ He says, O Allah, I have turned to you in tawbah, in repentance. وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And I am from those who have submitted before you. So this is the righteous child. Allah says regarding him, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا Those are the ones who we will accept the good deeds of theirs. وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ And we'll overlook their evil deeds. فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ And they will be amongst the dwellers, the inhabitants of Jannah. وَعَدَ الصِّدْقِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ This is Allah's promise, which is true, which He has made to the people. So this was the first person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the second child, وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ That child, now when he reaches the age of strength and maturity, now he turns on his parents. He says to them, أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا Woe be to you. He speaks back to them, أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجْ Are you telling me that I will be resurrected? وَقَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِي But I have understanding, I have intellect, I can see that so many generations have passed before me, nobody has come out of their graves as yet. And his parents are still trying and appealing to his understanding. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ That they are asking Allah, please help me. وَيْلَكَ آمِنْ And they tell their son that, woe be to you, please bring iman, believe in Allah. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ Allah's promise is true. But he responds to them, فَيَقُولُ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ Whatever you're speaking about the qabar, about the akhirat, jannat, jahannam, these are just fables. These are fairy tales that the former people would just fabricate and invent. There's no reality behind this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَوْلِ Those are the ones who our decree of punishment has fallen upon them. فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ And they will be with a group who had passed before them, of jinnat, of insan. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ These are the ones who have lost everything. So these are the two children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and Mufassirin explain that like these two children belonging to this parent, or these parents, likewise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the spiritual father of each and every one of us, and there will be these two groups in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One will be those who respond, those who follow the message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so Allah will reward them, Allah will overlook their evil deeds. And the other will be those who, in our words, speak back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They go against his command, against his sunnah. So these will be the persons, the people who have lost everything in this world, qabr and in the akhirat. So this was in the beginning of the 26th juz. And thereafter we commenced, we then read Surah Muhammad, and thereafter commenced with Suratul Fath. Suratul Fath, very quickly, the background behind the surah was during the 6th year of Hijrah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Prior to this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had seen a dream. He was in Madinah Munawwara. It was the 6th year. He sees a dream in which he is making tawaf of the Kaaba. So he becomes very happy, very excited. He tells this to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The interpretation is that we are going to perform Umrah. So 6th year after Hijrah, the month of Dhul Qa'dah, the second last month of the Islamic calendar, and this group of approximately 1,500 Sahaba, they prepare to leave Madinah Munawwara en route to Makkah. When they reach more or less halfway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sends a person ahead to go and find out what is happening in Makkah. And he then comes back with the news that the Makkans have heard that we have left Medina, we are coming. And they feel that we may be coming to attack them. They are preparing an army to fight us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chooses to take a different route. He doesn't come via Tan'im. Tan'im, where we know Masjid Aisha, where a person goes to tie his ihram. Nabi alayhi salam takes a different route and passes through and comes to set up camp at a place called Hudaybiyah. And here, the Makkans then send Urwa bin Mas'ud. He was not a Muslim at that time. They send him to come and discuss with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what have you come for? And how can we resolve this without any fighting? When Urwa bin Mas'ud goes back to Makkah, he is shell-shocked. He sits down with the leaders of the Quraysh and they ask him that how were the discussions and how are we going to move forward. But all he can say is that I have never seen any group of people who are so madly in love with their leader. The way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum have attached themselves to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he makes wudu, then they are waiting to catch the water that drops off his limbs. Every word that he says, they latch onto it. They don't allow him to do any work, but they run to try and fulfill his tasks. So he says this. So they tell him, Urwa, you have lost your mind. And better we send somebody else. Nevertheless, in that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then sends Uthman radiallahu anhu into Makkah, that you go and speak to them, and asked them permission, that please we want to enter and perform Umrah. Uthman radiallahu anhu had many contacts in Makkah Mukarramah, many people he knew, family members, friends also, people respected him. So he goes, the Quraysh welcome him, they respected him, and they say to him, Uthman, you can perform Tawaf and Umrah, but we're not going to allow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this entire group, we're not going to allow them, this is too risky for us. 1,500 men, if just now they decide to take up arms against us, so we're not allowing. So in that time, Uthman radiallahu anhu, this had taken quite some time, he was discussing with them, and the rumor comes back to Hudaybiyah now, that Uthman radiallahu anhu has been made shaheed, they have killed him. When this rumor comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now he commands the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that prepare for jihad and to wage war against them. And that is when Bay'atul Ridwan, the pledge of allegiance, takes place beneath that tree. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam calls the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that now come and pledge allegiance upon my hands that we will fight right up until the end for the sake of the deen of Allah. And all the Sahaba pledge allegiance to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. Those who have taken bay'at, they have pledged allegiance to you, they have in actual fact pledged allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah's assistance is over them. فَمَنْ نَكَثَ, that person who will break his pledge now, then he is doing this to his own detriment. And that person who fulfills his pledge, Allah will give him a great reward. So this happens. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu comes back. They realize that it was a rumor, and he has not been made shaheed. But we know what happens thereafter. The Makkans refuse to allow them to enter. And then a treaty is signed between the people of Makkah and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We mentioned before the different clauses of the treaty, that there will be ceasefire for 10 years, and we'll allow you to come the next year and perform Umrah, but just for 3 days. Nabi alayhi salam agrees to all of this. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are very upset. O Nabi of Allah, every clause in this treaty is against us. We are upon haqq, we are the people of Iman, they are not the custodians of the haram. We are the rightful custodians of the haram of Makkah, the Kaaba, the well of Zamzam. Why did you agree to all of this? Nabi alayhi salam says that just make sabr and we'll see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. That, O Nabi of Allah, we gave you a clear victory, an open victory. The Mufassirin explain that how was it an open victory? Here the Sahaba are complaining, they're saying that everything is against us, and Allah is saying it was an open victory, clear as daylight. So ulama explained that this was in the 6th year, and just 2 years later, Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah took place. As we mentioned, this particular Umrah was the group of Sahaba were 1,500. Remember, all of them had come. This was more or less the number of Muslims in Madinah Munawwara at that time. Approximately 1,500. Just 2 years later in Fath Makkah, the number was 10,000. So in 2 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplied almost 10 times the number of Muslims. How? Because now that there was a ceasefire, the Quraysh and the Mushrikeen felt at ease to come to Madinah. That we know no harm will come to us. So let's go and observe. Let's do some business with them. And they observed the akhlaq, the character, the conduct of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This became a cause for many of them then accepting Islam. So what seemed to be against Islam in the Muslims in the beginning, there's so many clauses against us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that very quickly this became a means of people accepting Islam. And 2 years later Allah gave them Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.